anytime somebody makes a commitment to Jesus, we want to honor that and just proclaim that and let everybody know what's going on. I'm going to ask Leah Oliver to please step up. Leah made the decision to get baptized this past week, and I believe Maggie and Emily studied with you. And so I'm going to give you a copy of this here. This is Deep Convictions. That's some really good material, and they're going to be going over it with you over the next few weeks. So welcome to the family. I'm glad you're here. Also want to ask Emily Wilfong. Did I say your name right? Emily Wilfong, come on up. Emily also made a commitment to follow Jesus this past week and was baptized. And so I'm going to give you a copy of that. And I believe Holly and Ayana studied with you. And so they're going to be going over that with you for the next few weeks. So welcome. We're really glad you guys are here. And we're going to be starting a new series this week on parenting. And we really want our church services, we really want the stuff we talk about on Sundays to be the types of things that are going to impact your everyday life. And I know a lot of us in here are like, well, I'm a little older, I've already raised my kids, or you're younger and you don't have kids yet, and you're like, yeah, series on parenting, like, what's the deal here? Look, I can tell you, these principles that we're going to be laying out over the next few weeks, they're really principles that we're going to hone in and talk about related to parenting, but these principles we're going to be talking about are things that really will affect all of your lives. And so they're very practical. Also, a lot of you in here, if you've already raised your kids, look, I can just tell you, when you start looking at the Bible in a room full of people who have older children, and we start looking at what the scriptures teach us, a lot of times we can look and say, man, I didn't do that with my kids. Or we can look and say, man, and it can almost be like this downer where you're filled with regret. And I can just tell you, as somebody who grew up in a relatively religious household with parents who knew the scriptures, the stuff I'm going to talk about this morning, even my parents will look at and say, man, I wish I'd have done that different. And I just put that out there because it's never too late for us to make changes, even if our kids are older. I can tell you, just the past few months have been a healing time for my family. Those of you that know me know, in the past couple of years, I really started dealing with some issues about some bad stuff that happened to me when I was a kid, related to sexual abuse and just some bad things that my parents didn't even know were happening. Well, as I started dealing with my issues and being open about that, and you guys all know, and I started talking to my family, like, here's what happened to me, and here's why I was acting the way I was acting a lot of times. Guys, I found out my mom was abused as a kid. I found out my mom grew up with a father who was a pedophile, and that her whole, like, living situation growing up was really, really unhealthy, and that she grew up in a loveless environment, and by the time she got to be a mother herself, she had given her life to Jesus, and she was married to a man who was equally committed to Jesus, and she did the best that she could with what she knew to do. Like, she was totally committed to us, but honestly, she made some major mistakes because she had learned from an early age some really unhealthy stuff in her household. But I tell you, even now, my mom is in her 70s. She's now coming back to the kids and like, guys, I screwed up here. I should have done this different. And so even though her kids are grown, like, there's always room to go back and just admit, I screwed up. And there's been some real healing, I think, in my own family because of that. And so as I share this stuff this morning, if you feel like you've screwed up, guys, it may not be that you need to do anything other than just acknowledge that and maybe go back to your kids and talk about it. So anyway, I put all that out there because I don't want anybody to leave here feeling like beat up or down. You know what I'm saying? I want us all to be repentant, and I want us all to understand that, dude, there is never a time when you can't change. And I was a wayward son. I didn't come to the Lord until I was in my 20s. If somebody's breathing, there's hope, right? If somebody is breathing, there's hope. And so I want us all to be filled with hope and just understand, let's just go into this repentantly. As far as the young people here, guys, these principles we're going to be talking about, maybe you don't have kids yet, but you're more than likely going to have kids someday. Maybe you don't want to have kids someday. Maybe you have nieces, nephews. Maybe you have a family. Maybe you're going to be an intercessor. Maybe you're going to bring some of these principles up to somebody else. Anyway, all it's going to be useful, okay? But I'm going to pray for us, and then we're just going to jump into the lesson, okay? God, I want to thank you again just for bringing us together this morning. Man, it's good to come to the Crossings Church here in Collinsville. It's good to see my friends and people that I'm getting closer to and that I know are going to become like family to me. Father, I thank you for the grace and forgiveness you give us in Jesus. I thank you for being patient with us. I thank you for helping us learn how to do this life thing better and shaping us into something more as we struggle and learn and fight, Lord. And so I just pray you bless our lesson this morning, and it's in your name I pray. Amen. All right, so kicking off this first lesson, the title of it is How to Avoid Titanic Mistakes as it relates to your kids. How many of you guys are familiar with Titanic? Everybody, right? What happened to the Titanic? You've seen the movie, right? You didn't need to see the movie to know it sank. You know some of the things they were talking about the Titanic? They were saying the Titanic was this unsinkable ship. The Titanic was this marvel of modern technology at the time that was never going to go to the bottom of the ocean. It was this behemoth with these thick steel walls all around her hull, and it had this massive engine. It was really fast, like never going to sink, and then it sank. And there was a whole lot of pride and arrogance and all kinds of stuff, all kinds of dumb stuff that led up to that ship sinking. 1,517 people died as a result of getting on the Titanic. I was talking with somebody not too long ago who was here who said their grandmother had a ticket to get on the Titanic. I can't remember who it was. She ended up getting sick or something happened where she didn't get to go, but she kept that ticket. And it's still in their family. Their grandmother lived because she didn't get on the ship. But guys, you don't want to get on the Titanic, right? Not a good thing to go to. When it relates to our parenting, if we think our families are unsinkable, if we think our families are untouchable, if we think we know best and we don't need to listen to anybody, that's a lot of the same kinds of attitudes that led to this disaster on the ocean. Guys, it'll lead to a disaster in our families. And so what I want to talk about are three things that we can do to really avoid having a Titanic-like disaster in our own family this morning. There's a set of notes in your bulletin if you want to pull those out. The first point on those is I can avoid Titanic mistakes if I will acknowledge reality. I can avoid Titanic mistakes in my parenting and in my family if I will just acknowledge reality. And this is the first step to dealing with any issue in our lives. You go to any AA group, any recovery group, man, the first thing they'll tell you is you got to get over that denial. You've got to acknowledge that there's a problem. If you won't acknowledge that there's a problem, you're never going to be able to address the issue because it's like, there ain't really anything to address if there's not a problem. You need to acknowledge reality when it comes to parenting in a couple of ways. Look at this scripture, Proverbs 14:12 says, "There is a path before each person that seems right, but it ends in death." That's one of those life verses for me that I look at and man, I just about killed myself doing life on my own. I mentioned before I had some bad stuff happen to me when I was a kid. When I got to be a teenager, I started messing around with drugs. I wasn't going to listen to anybody around me, especially not my mom and dad. They didn't know what they were talking about. They lived in some fantasy land where some guy in the sky told them what to do, and I didn't believe any of that stuff. And I was just going to do life on my own. Guys, that ended with me almost losing my life. But it seemed really right the way I was living at the time. I'm just going to do whatever I want. I'm going to be my own God. I'm going to call my own shots. It nearly cost me my life, but it seemed at the time really right. With regard to the Titanic, this behemoth, unsinkable wonder of modern technology at the time, they were traveling on a path that was leading them straight into iceberg territory. And they didn't have Wi-Fi and satellites and all that stuff back then, but they did have wireless telegraph. I think they got 10 wireless telegraphs on that ship telling them, don't go in this section of the ocean. You're going to encounter icebergs. Don't go, don't go, don't go, don't go, don't go. And guess what? They went. Did it work out? They had all the warnings in the world, but they said, no, we're on a path. We're charting our own course. We are our own entity. We are better than your problems. We don't need to listen to your warnings. We're going to go our own way. There was a path that seemed right to them, but in the end, it leads to death. Titanic's a great example of that. Guys, it takes a lot of arrogance for somebody to be on a path headed into dangerous waters, and there's people around them who are saying, don't go, don't go, don't go, and you say, no, I know better. That is an arrogant attitude. And while we can look at a situation like with the Titanic, we can look at them and we can say, yeah, that's so stupid. Those people were incompetent. That captain was an idiot. He cost the lives of all those people. Man, what an idiot. If he would have just listened, and then we could look at our own parenting lives and the same types of people, the same types of warnings can be coming from wise people saying, you're going into dangerous waters, and we'll look at that and say, I know better. We don't make the application to ourselves sometimes. There's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. Guys, we've got to make sure we're not arrogant, where we think we know better and we're not going to listen to anybody, especially parenting. Guys, as many of us, too, that grew up in dysfunctional homes, what in the world makes you think that you know anything about parenting? Why is it that we think we know better when the examples we have and the closest, even a lot of times if we say, I'm not going to do things the way mom and dad do it, or mom did it, or whoever, I'm going to not do that. We'll go to the other extreme. Like if mom was abusive and physically beat the snot out of you all the time and was really, really strict and ran every little aspect, like micromanage you, you'll say, I'm not going to do that with my kids. And so you go to the far other extreme and say, you just don't discipline at all. And you let your kids manipulate you and do whatever they want. Well, that doesn't work out either, right? But you need some of these voices in your life of people who are wiser than you that'll say, look, let's change this. But you've got to make sure you're not arrogant. I'll tell you another thing that comes up in this, guys, insecurity. Did you know on the Titanic, they didn't put enough lifeboats on it to serve even half of the people if they got into a disaster? They had less than half of the lifeboats on that ship they needed to save the people if they got into a bad situation. You want to know why they didn't put the lifeboats on the ship? They didn't like the way it looked. They were afraid of reporters who were going to come and take pictures of that ship, how it was going to look to the rest of the world. That's nothing but insecurity. Where you say, I'm worried about the way things look. Guys, when it relates to parenting, how many of us parent and make decisions, big decisions about parenting, because we're worried about what other families and other peers are going to think about us, how it's going to appear to them? Let me share a scripture with you. Matthew 7, 13 and 14. This is Jesus talking, and he's talking about your life. He says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. This is related to your life as a disciple of Jesus. What he's saying in this scripture is most people, when they are presented with the opportunity to follow me and honor me with their lives or not, over here, you make my desires your desires. Over here, you surrender your life to me. Over here, it's whatever you want to do, and you don't have to surrender your life to anyone besides, you just kind of do what you want. Which one are most people you know going to choose? Obviously, this one over here. Jesus uses this metaphor of the roads. He says there's a narrow road. Not many people are going to go down it. Then there's this wide highway, this narrow road that leads to life. That's harder, and you have to give up some of your control, and you have to surrender to me. And then there's this highway over here where you just do whatever you want. And you can live however you want, and you can make up your own way. You can do whatever. This is the one most people are going to go on. Just a few are going to go on this one. That's true as it relates to your life. It's also true as it relates to how you parent. If you're on that narrow road, you're going to follow biblical principles that are going to look weird to people that are on the wide road. And you can get so caught up sometimes in worrying about people thinking that you're weird or that you're different, or, you know, you're this crazy religious person. You can get so caught up in that that you instead parent like a person over here would, and the results speak for themselves. And so we've got to be very careful that we're not allowing insecurity to get in there. And honestly, guys, arrogance and insecurity are both two sides of the same coin. All it is pride. Pride just means you're just thinking about you. And you can do that as a person who's very arrogant, and I've got my life all together, and I don't need to listen to anybody. You can also do it as somebody who's deeply insecure, and you say, I'm a piece of crap. And we don't think of that as pride sometimes, but that's exactly what it is. You're just thinking about you. All of your thoughts are centered on you instead of centered on God and what God says about you. So we got to get over arrogance and insecurity. Secondly, we've got to accept responsibility. We need to understand we can be responsible, or I can be responsible as a parent. You know, and I was thinking about this. I think I saw a movie a few years ago. I can't remember what it was, but this guy in the movie said, you know, you got to have a license to drive a car. If you want to drive a car, you got to get a license. If you want to drive a big truck, you've got to even get a special license. If you want to drive an airplane, you got to get a license. You got to go to school. You got to get the training. You got to make sure you're qualified. If you want to be a parent, all you got to do is have a kid. Now, which one is more responsibility? I mean, you could kill somebody with a car. Statistically, most of you are not. You could get into a wreck and hurt somebody. That might happen. Statistically, most of you aren't going to be injured horribly in a car. But guys, you look at parenting. How many people's lives are wrecked because of bad parenting? And there's no training ahead of your getting pregnant and having a baby. It just sort of happens whenever the biology is there, right? But the thing about it is, there is training available. There's training in the scriptures. There's training. This is one of the reasons church is so important. God didn't design us to do life on our own. He didn't like throw us into the world, like giving us a hand grenade as kids to play around with. Say, hey, kids, play around with this. That's not what he does with us. He loves us so much. He gives us the church. He gives us one another. That's part of his design, is we need one another to do this right. But we can accept responsibility in a couple of ways. The first one is by clarifying the objective. First, clarifying the objective. Ask, what will success look like? What will success look like? What does it mean to be a good parent? What does it mean to accept responsibility? What does success look like in raising children? Now, for those of us that are parents, if we objectively look at our lives, We can say, like with words, this is what success looks like, but then if we examine our actions, sometimes our actions say something different. I have known parents who the most important thing in their kids' lives, as they saw it, was their growing up and getting a good job someday. And if they will grow up and get a good job, and they'll be able to have a career and support a family or make a lot of money, I have done my job as a parent. And so GPA and performance in school, that's what they get the most praise for. That's what the kids, that's what a lot of the disciplinary action that's taken along with kids. And guys, that stuff's important, but honestly, it is not the most important thing. For other parents, it may be sports or extracurriculars. I've had friends, the only time they got praise from their dads was when they played sports. And the kids a lot of times didn't even want to play sports, but they felt like that was the only time they were loved by their dads. And so they did it begrudgingly because they wanted love and acceptance from their dads. For their dads, and sometimes moms too, they would like find their identity in the performance of their kids. And so if the kids did really, really well in the sport or extracurricular or whatever, it's like, I'm loved by mom and dad. But if they don't, they didn't get it. And so what do the kids do? Well, actually, they want to seek after their parents' love. And so life kind of centers around this. Guys, this is another thing. Like, this is why a lot of times we can grow up in our culture when we've had it ingrained in us as kids, the most important thing in your life is performance. That carries over from sports into all kinds of other arenas in life a lot of times. It's an unhealthy thing. But I'll tell you, like, with my kids, there are certain things that that they would like to do that sometimes we're not going to get involved with because they take place in times or places that is going to carry over into taking away time from, like, church and church activities. And I'll talk more about that in a second. Look at Matthew 16. Just kind of guide our thoughts on this point about what our priority should be and how we should gauge success. He says in Matthew 16, verse 24, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul?'" Do you guys see that? "Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done." Guys, when we look at the scriptures, we have an end game in mind. One day, Jesus is going to come back, and we are all going to have to stand before him and give an account for our lives. And it's not going to matter what your GPA was. It's not going to matter if you made a lot of money. And I've heard people say, you know, some people, they just need to make a whole lot of money so they can give money to the church. Well, I mean, we'll take it. We're not all about money. People that make a lot of money sometimes will send missionaries overseas. They do all kinds of good stuff with money. I know some wealthy people that do some awesome stuff. But guys, can you think of a single passage of scripture where we are taught to go make a lot of money so we can give it to the church? It ain't in there. I'll tell you what is in there is it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. That's in there. I'll tell you what else is in there. You cannot serve both God and money. That's in there. And I could go on. There are several passages that talk specifically about money, but all of them indicate, while it's not necessarily a bad thing to have, it can become a bad thing if it becomes a God thing. And when we stand before God on Judgment Day, God's not going to say, "Get out your pocketbook, you know, and give me a check and I'll let you in." It ain't going to work that way. He's going to say, you know, ain't Joel Osteen. He's going to say, "What's your character like? What's your life like? What kind of man were you? Not how much money did you make. What kind of woman were you? Not what kind of career did you have?" Right? This is what needs to be instilled in our children. What kind of character do you have? That's way more important than all this other stuff. I mentioned earlier there are certain things that my kids won't get involved with. This past year, Conrad really wanted to do Scouts. The night that it was going to fall on was going to conflict with some stuff we had going on at the church. And so I sat Conrad down. I said, "Look, I'd love for you to do Scouts, but we're not going to do it, and here's why. Because anytime there is a kingdom priority, my kids are going to be taught, this takes priority. We're not going to play baseball if they play AAU baseball over Sundays. We're not going to skip church to go play baseball. I'm going to teach my kids, yeah, I'd love for you to play baseball, but if it's going over Sundays, we ain't doing it, and here's why. And I tell you what, we may play baseball in heaven, but if it means we're going to sacrifice kingdom goals and kingdom priorities here, we're not doing it here. I'll play with them in the backyard, but we ain't doing it." And so I'm ingraining that in my kids, and I've learned that from others. You know what my dad did if we had a baseball game over a church service? He coached my team. We went and played baseball. We didn't go to church. What did that teach me as a kid? Baseball's more important. Now, some people will say, but you can use stuff like that as outreach opportunities. You can go meet up. Well, yeah, you can. Guess how many people we reached because I went and played baseball? Zero. Had a couple come to church one time. That was it. There was no, like, kingdom fruit. We've got to make sure our priorities are right, though. Get it? We can accept responsibility by collecting the information. We ask, what do I need to know to succeed? And I mentioned earlier, guys, we're not instinctively great parents. A lot of us grew up in these bad situations. Even people I know that grew up in religious households, you grew up with a bunch of hypocrites a lot of the time. I'll tell you, my family's jacked up. My family is religious. My family's jacked up. You can ask any of us that are part of my family. We've had a bunch of hypocrisy. We've had a bunch of closet addiction. We've had a bunch of crap happen in my family. We were a religious household. And so just because you're a religious household doesn't mean that you're shielded from a lot of this garbage. The reason a lot of preachers' kids, in fact, stray from the path is because they grew up seeing moms and dads not live out at home what they were preaching from the pulpits. And so there's a bunch of hypocrisy. Guys, I don't want to be part of a fake church. And I'm pretty sure you don't either. We need to get real. And guess who sees fakeness in your life more than anybody else? Your kids. You grow up preaching religion, you grow up preaching following Jesus, and then they see you at home not living it out. Guess what that's going to do to your kids? I don't want nothing to do with that. If this is what this is, it's fake. That's all it is. It's fake. And so how do we make sure we don't get that way? Well, guys, if we want to be great parents, we need to get the right information. Proverbs 24, verse 3 says, a house is built by wisdom and becomes strong through good sense. Guess where wisdom is? Where wisdom comes from? Not from within you. God has a monopoly on wisdom. Just like he has a monopoly on love, just like he has a monopoly on everything that's good, he has a monopoly on wisdom. He created it. It was his idea. If you want wisdom, Proverbs 28, verse 26, those who trust in their own insight are foolish, but anyone who walks in wisdom is safe. Just like this verse says, if you want wisdom, you're not going to get it from within yourself. You've got to get it from outside of yourself. And there are a few different ways that God will give that to us. The first way is we can get wisdom by asking God. I can get wisdom by asking God. James 1, verse 5, but if any of you needs wisdom, you should ask God for it. He is generous and enjoys giving to all people, so he will give you wisdom. I love that passage of scripture right there. How many of us are in the habit of praying for wisdom? You ask God for it. Now, the Bible also says if you pray for wisdom, don't doubt. Understand, he's going to give it to you. Believe that. He will. God wants nothing more than for you to know how to do this life thing. This is also linked to praying for the Holy Spirit. You might just make a note on this. I didn't put it on your notes, but Luke 11, 13 talks about how God is this father who loves giving good gifts to his children. And it says, why wouldn't he give you more of the Holy Spirit to those who ask? The Holy Spirit in the scriptures is linked to wisdom. It's linked to light. I should say he is linked to sight. The Holy Spirit's a he, not an it. I slip up sometimes. I blame Robert, though, because he says it all the time. The Holy Spirit is who gives you insight. The Holy Spirit is the third person in the Trinity. The Holy Spirit is God himself who comes and dwells within anybody who gives their life to Jesus. Whenever we're baptized and make that commitment to follow God, the Bible teaches that we're given the gift of the Holy Spirit. And what the Spirit does supernaturally is he guides and he directs. He gives us words sometimes. He gives us insight sometimes. He gives us wisdom. Wisdom is how do we do this life thing? It's the information I need. It's the guidance I need. So pray for it. Pray for him. Pray for wisdom. Secondly, I can get wisdom by listening to God. I can get wisdom by listening to God. Proverbs 1, verse 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Have you ever heard the phrase, the fear of the Lord, and gotten a little confused? It's one of those things. When I read through the Old Testament, I was just reading the other day this story. It was actually the story about Samson. And an angel appeared to Samson's mom and dad before Samson was conceived and told them, you're going to have this baby. And this is Judges 13, if you want to read it. But every time I read through the Old Testament where there's an angelic encounter where the supernatural being appears, you might notice the first thing people usually do when they see an angel is they hit the floor and say, I'm going to die! Save me! And a lot of you are like, yeah, I wouldn't act that way. I guarantee you, if an angel, like a 10-foot tall being that you can't even look at, like it's so bright, and it's just like, hey, you know, you're going to hit the ground and say, don't kill me. Whatever you are, I don't know, but you're in charge. Just don't kill me, right? That's what happens when we encounter angelic beings in the supernatural. How much greater, if we fear just his messengers like that, how much greater do you think your fear would be if you stood in the throne room of God? Because there are examples of people like Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6, John in the book of Revelation, those who had visions of heaven and were called up into the throne room of God. Guess what the first thing they did was? I'm dead. I'm going to die. Please clean me. Please make me okay. I know I shouldn't be here. I shouldn't be in this guy's presence. And so you got the angels that come and like clean them, and then they're able to, you know, not be as afraid. But guys, there is a fear that comes along with being in the presence of God. Do you have that fear day to day? When we don't see God, we're not like directly in his presence in that way, but should we be? Because before you make that decision to get involved in that habit that you know you shouldn't be involved in, or to get in that relationship that you know you shouldn't be involved in, or to smoke that or snort that or drink that or whatever it is that you know you shouldn't be doing, if you would picture yourself doing that in the throne room of God, where there's going to be consequences, your fear is going to keep you from that, right? It's good to have a healthy fear and reverence for God. That doesn't mean that we feel like we can't approach him at all. That's what Jesus is for. That's who he came. He came to be like the one who can connect us to this big, scary God. But the Bible says, you're fearing the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The Bible teaches if you will see that there is an overarching, greater, more powerful authority that is in charge that I should listen to, that's the beginning of wisdom. And you want to know what a fool is? Somebody who doesn't believe in God, number one, so they don't fear him, they don't see him as an authority, or somebody that does believe in God, they just don't care. They're just so blind and so arrogant that they just don't care. There is no hope for a fool. If somebody is foolish enough to not listen to anybody else and to think that they're God, there is no hope for them until they change. But that's why the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It begins with fearing the Lord. This is synonymous with accepting instruction. And where should our instruction come from? Well, it comes from, primarily, I believe, the scriptures. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17. I like the way the NLT puts this. All scripture is inspired by God and useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong. It teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. We must start listening to God. Now, how many of you guys, when you encounter a parenting problem, your first instinct is to say, what does the Bible say about this? How does the Bible address this? How am I directed here? Because if that's not your first instinct, where you're saying, where is this in the Word? How does the Word direct me? It needs to be. That's how to parent wisely. Thirdly, you can get wisdom by listening to godly people. You can get wisdom by listening to godly people. And guys, this is where your pride can come in, where you're like, I ain't gonna listen to them, I know better. That's all pride is this attitude that I know better. Proverbs says, listen to advice and accept correction, and in the end you will be wise. By the way, this is part of fearing God, is that you listen to God's people. It doesn't mean that you listen to every voice from every person who comes in, but guys, there are wise people that God has put in your life. And part of fearing the Lord is listening to those wise people and taking their advice. And that's the fastest way to become wise yourself, is if you'll listen to others and if you're teachable. Some of us in here have coached before. Have you ever had a player on teams you've coached who's uncoachable? You spin your wheels with that kid. There's nothing you can do with that kid. This kid may have all the potential in the world, but if they're not going to listen to the coach, they're not going to develop, they're not going to change the habits they need to change, they're not going to be better players because they're not teachable. When it comes to parenting, how much more important, how much more is at stake, how important is it that we be coachable when it comes to running a family or raising kids? Number three is act immediately. So in order to avoid titanic mistakes, we acknowledge reality, we accept responsibility, and thirdly, we need to act immediately. We need to ask, what do I need to do to succeed? What do I need to do to succeed? I mentioned earlier that kids hate seeing hypocrisy in their parents. Did you know the little things matter? On the Titanic, for a long time, popular thought was there was a 300-foot wide gash in the side of the Titanic that caused it to sink. It hit this iceberg, and it made this humongous hole in the side that made it go down. Then we found the wreckage a few years ago, and guess what we found? It wasn't a huge hole. It was, relative to the size of the ship, a pretty small one. It was a little puncture, no bigger than the average doorway, which on a ship that big is not very big. If you saw it, you'd be like, that's a little thing. Guys, the little things matter. What does your moodiness around the house communicate to your kids about your priorities? What do your habits communicate to your kids about your priorities? Are you in the habit of reading your Bible and spending time with God and praying where your kids can see? Do they see you living out these principles at home? Do they see it shaping your life? Do you have devotionals with your kids? If the Bible says, talk to your kids about this stuff every day. Talk to them at home. Talk to them on the road. Talk to them when you have quiet times. Teach them about God. Deuteronomy 6. Look it up. Are you doing that? This is our job as parents, guys. They need to see, and the little things matter. You think the little things don't matter, guys. Again, going back to what we were talking about earlier about hypocrisy, your kids will label you fake in a hurry. Now, does that mean you have to be perfect? I would hope not. You know what I'm in the habit of doing with my kids? If I screw up, I tell them I screwed up. I was moody with you today. I'm sorry. I shouldn't be that way. I got frustrated and impatient with you today. I'm sorry. I shouldn't be that way. I was out of line when I talked to you that way. I'm sorry. I shouldn't be that way. Will you forgive me? I've taught my kids. I'm not perfect. But your kids need to see you repenting. I'll tell you what, I've told my kids about a lot of my past. I haven't gotten into the nitty-gritty details about sexual abuse or anything like that, but they know I'm a drug addict. They know Daddy stays away from alcohol because he can't just have one. They know all those things. They know that I'm a screwed-up human being. They know that at one time I was sitting on a couch thinking about killing myself, and I didn't because I had an encounter with God. And they call it, that, like, that's a builder for their faith. Daddy is the way he is because God talked to him one time. We don't have to be perfect. We just got to be real. And you can be real imperfect, but as long as you're real, your kids are going to respect that. And they're not going to label you a fake. And they're going to understand there's credibility behind what mom and dad says. And so it's real important that we can be real. Matthew, this is Jesus again. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Two men mentioned in this story, a wise man and a foolish man. Who in this story heard the word of God? See several people mouthing the wise man. Look again. Both of them heard the word of God. What's the difference between the wise man and the foolish man? The wise man put it into practice. Guys, if we're just reading the Bible, if we're just coming to church and listening to some sermons, but we're not actively changing, is that wise or foolish? Is that the narrow road or the wide road? Is that the path that leads to life or the path that leads to death? Let me tell you, this matters not just for you, it matters for your kids. There is no greater gift you can give a child than to connect them to Jesus. Your kids are not yours. Yeah, there was some biology that God used to knit them together in the womb, but who knitted them together in the womb? God did. When you get to heaven, are you going to be responsible for those kids? When they get to a certain age, are you like still over them? Are you still the authority? Guys, your kids are given to you to steward for a time, but they're not yours. They're God's. The greatest gift you can give them is to give them back to the one who created them. And so let's make it our goal as we're talking about parenting, as we're going through this. Guys, I don't care where you're at in life. I don't care if you are an older person in here who has raised kids. Maybe you have grandkids now. I don't care if you're a younger person who doesn't have kids. Maybe you're going to someday, or maybe there are kids you can influence right now. Guys, let's take this, though, and understand, not just our kids, any person in the world, the greatest way you can love them is to connect them to Jesus. That's everybody. And so let's make it our goal to get to the end of our life. And when we stand before God, we can point behind us and say, look at these people I brought. And I know I'm screwed up, and I know I'm imperfect, and Jesus had to die for my sins, and he did, and I'm in fellowship with him. And guys, I'll tell you, that's all I want with my life. I just want to look behind me and point and say, man, this person and this person. And that's not for me. That's because that's the only way to love other people. And so if we can just structure our whole lives around that goal, I want to be with God, I want to bring other people to be with God. Guys, that's gonna help us learn to be the parents we need to be. It's also just going to help us be the people we need to be. And that's what we all want, right? And so let's make it our goal to make whatever changes need to be made or whatever relationships we need. If we need wise people or just positive influences in our life, let's make it our goal to make this the place where that happens. And guys, it already is. If you're new, welcome. We're glad you're here. We want you to be part of our family. One of the ways we give you an opportunity to take the next steps for that to happen every week is at the end of our lesson, go ahead and pull out this cardstock piece of paper called a communication card. And it says, The Crossings Church, where the problems of life meet the power of God on one side. It has a place for your information on the other side. What we ask you to do every week is we're not one of those churches where we ask you to stand up and like come up here and tell everybody your business. But we would like to connect you to somebody who can talk with you and give you some counsel. And so I don't care what has happened to you in your life. I may have said something that triggered something. There may be something going on in your heart right now. You may say, man, that guy was talking about being sexually abused. I never talked with anybody about that. Guys, we have people here who can help you deal with those issues. We talked about families this morning. Some of you are saying, man, I grew up in a dysfunctional family. Outwardly, things looked great. People didn't understand that I feel performance-driven and that I've got all these issues and I was never loved well. Man, we've got people here who can help you deal with that. Some of you are saying, man, this God thing is something I'm just investigating. I want to tiptoe and, you know, kind of test the water a little bit. That's cool. We're glad you're here. let us know. Let's ask for a personal Bible study. We'd love to share more with you. Some of you are like, man, I've never made a commitment to the Lord. I need to. I know I need to. Check on here. I'd like to be baptized. And we'll talk with you about that. But whatever your needs are, guys, we just want to be a church where we can connect people to God. That's it. We want to be connected, and then we want to connect others to God. And so I'm really excited about the next few weeks with this sermon series. But I'm going to wrap up here, and I'm going to pray. And then the worship team's going to come up. We're going to sing a song. During that time, fill this card out. Please do. And then we're going to sing one more song after that where you can drop them in the basket. But let me pray for us. God, I want to thank you for bringing us together today. Man, as I'm studying this week, I was just thinking over my life. And, you know, I had, for all intents and purposes, pretty good parents. And in a lot of ways, a healthy household growing up. But in some other ways, a really unhealthy household. And so, Father, I just pray. I just pray that you'll fill us with your spirit and with wisdom. Even as we reflect on our own childhoods, God, I just pray if there's areas in our life where we need to radically change, that we will do that. Father, as we're thinking about filling these cards out, if there are people who really need to get connected, to get help with any of the things I mentioned or even things I didn't mention, Lord, I pray that they will be assured that this is a safe place. This is a place where you can get help because your presence is here, not because any of us are special, but God, just because you're here and you fill us with your spirit, you fill us with your wisdom. You are a healer and a comforter. You are the one who can make everything right in our lives. You are the one who can give us purpose and healing. And so I just pray that we are all assured of that as we think through how we need to respond today. But God, I lift this up to you. Thank you so much for the family you give us here. It's in your name we pray. Amen.